أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. صلوات In these majalis of the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, the topic that I have chosen, as I had mentioned last night, was to talk about some of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to understand what does it mean to be the Shia of Ali. We cannot become like Ali, just as we cannot become like Hussein. But in Ziyarat Warisa, we address the Ashab of Hussein and we say, فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَعَفُوزُ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That we say to the companions of Hussein, that I wish I was there to attain that same status as you have attained. So we can say to the Ashab of Ali that we cannot become like Ali, but we will try to become like the companions of Ali. And last night we started with the example of Salman al-Farsi. There's quite a lot to say about him. And even tonight, I would not be able to complete. However, before I come to him, I wanted to go back to this issue of, you know, the gradings of the levels of Iman and the steps of Iman that I mentioned yesterday as the basis of my discussion. That we should realize that our life is the life of constant struggle to reach to the higher levels of Iman. And there is no end to that. We have to do that constantly till the last moment of our life. We cannot say, Alhamdulillah, I have reached to this level. Because whatever I think, there would be a level above it. Every khair that you do, there is something even more that you can do. Except one. And that is shahadat. After shahadat, you can't do anything. And so keeping that in mind, let me just talk about this concept again. That remember I mentioned a point there that Ali is not on a level of Iman. Rather, Amir al-Mu'mineen is the condition of the Iman. Just to emphasize that point even more, because it is the majalis about him, and since we talked about Salman Farsi, one of the important contributions of Salman was his idea and suggestion to the Prophet about digging the ditch, the trench around the strategic area in Medina, so that when the allied forces, Al-Ahzab, you know this surah in Quran, surah number 33, it's known as Al-Ahzab, means the allied forces. I'm using the modern term. The Mushrikeen of Mecca and various tribes affiliated to them, and the Jewish tribes around Medina. They're all combined together for a final battle against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why it's known as Al-Ahzab. Both groups got together. And in that battle, it's there that, you know, the Prophet used these words for Salman, because when every group was assigned to dig the ditch, you know, Ansar said, "Where is Salman minna?" Muhajirin said, "No, Salman minna. He's from us." And Rasulullah said, "He's not from Ansar, not from Muhajirin. Salman minna Ahlul Bayt." And this is a unique honor given to a Sahabi to know any other Sahabi. And so when you look at this battle of Khandaq, I would like to use an example there to show the importance of the levels of Iman. When you look at this siege of Ahzab, the allied forces against the Muslims. As long as the mushrikeen had not come over, there was fear out there. There was fear from even from one of the munafiqeen groups of the Yahud within the city. And then there was danger from these enemies outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the fear of the Muslims in Surah Ahzab, ayat number 10 and 11. So I'm not reading history, no hadith, so don't say, oh, this is a Shia source. This is the Quran itself. Talking about the state of Muslims at that time. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, جَاءَكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. Remember when they came to you from two sides. From above you, referring to the east side, Quraysh was coming. And from below you, which means to the west of Medina, and this was the Jewish tribes, or the other way around. They were coming from both sides. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ عَلَى حَنَاجِرُ. At that time, the fear was so much that Allah says, your eyes turned dull, and your hearts rose up to the throat. You know, this was the state of the fear of the Muslims at that time. Not only that, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, Allah will help us. Rasulullah had promised that. And Allah says, at that time, some of you even started thinking evil thoughts about Allah and His promise. هُنَالِكَ ابْتَلَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. It was at that time that the believers, you know, they were indeed tried and they were shaken, severe shaking. Their whole core of their iman was shaken. They were not sure whether Allah's help is there or not. And in this situation, in one area of that trench or the ditch which was dug, it was kind of narrower. And that's where about 5 to 6 of the warriors of Quraysh, led by Amr ibn Abd Wud, they were able to jump over with their horses. Amr ibn Abd Wud was known among Arabs to be equal, one man against 100. They were very much afraid of him, you know, his fame and courage. He comes to the campsite of the Muslims at the time, where even his words could reach to Rasulullah, and he says, you know, hal min mubarir. This was the Arab style of war. Not like these days, they sit there here in the Pentagon and press the button, and the poor people in Afghanistan die. And then they say, oh, sorry, we didn't know. This was not a combatant. You know, this is real fight where you are there in front and you challenge. Hal min mubarid. I am challenging. Is anyone willing to come from the other side? And this is where, you know, the Muslims were very much silent and quiet. If I remember, I don't have it in my notes here, but from my reading during my student days, I think it was Tabari who mentioned that they were sitting ka'anna ala ru'usuhum at-tayr, as if the birds were sitting on their heads. They didn't want to disturb. You know, they liked statue. Everybody was afraid. Nobody stood up, other than one person. Ana ya Rasulullah. O Rasul, I will accept his challenge. And this is where Rasul says, Ya Ali, sit down. Ijlis. Innahu Amr ibn Wud. It's not a regular, you know, ordinary person. Ali, sit down. Again, Amr ibn Abd Wud says, Hal min mubariz. No response other than Ali. Again, Rasulullah says, sit down. Third time, now he taunts the Muslims. He says, you guys believe that if you are killed, become shaheed, you'll go to Jannah directly. I'm giving you easy ticket. Come. This is your belief. I'll kill you and you'll go to Jannah. What is the problem? You don't believe in that? And at that time again, you know, Ali stood up. Ana lahu, ya Rasulullah. I am willing, you know, to challenge him, go and face him. Again, Rasulullah, third time also says, ijlis innahu Amr ibn Abdabud. Sit down. Rasulullah is giving opportunity to anyone else than Ali. If he had said only first time, they would say, oh, you know, I was thinking about getting up, but Ali was faster. No. This time, when Rasulullah twice said, ijlis, sit down, Ali stood down, you know, just sat down. This time Ali says, when Rasulullah says, innahu Amr ibn Abdabud, he says, wa in kana Amr, Rasulullah, even if it's Amr, I'm willing to go and face him. This is where Rasulullah allowed him. But while he allowed him, he recited a dua. He says, Allahumma, you took Ubaidah, my cousin, from me in the battle of Badr. You took Hamza, my uncle, away from me in the battle of Uhud. This is my brother and cousin, so do not leave me alone. And you are the best of the heirs. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Although even if he's gone, you are there. But this is where it seems even the dua of Rasulullah is talking about the mental state of the Muslims. They were so much afraid that Rasulullah says, oh Allah, if Ali is killed here, none of them will be here. I will be left all alone. So I'm asking you to help. And this is where Ali then, you know, starts moving. And at that time, Rasulullah uttered the words, and this is relevant to the theme of the levels of Iman. This is where Rasulullah says to Ali, Ali moving towards Amr ibn Abdawud, barad al iman kulluhu ila shirk kullihi. That the entire Iman is not going to confront the entire shirk. So the question that I was answering yesterday, that Ali is not on a level of Iman, he is the condition of Iman. This is the Dalil. Baraz al-Iman kulluhu. Ali is not on a level of Iman. Ali is the symbol of entire Iman. Salawat. So Iman has levels. Salman is on the 10th level, Abu Zar on the 9th, Miqdad on the 8th. Amir al-Mu'minin is not on a level, he's a symbol himself. He's the condition for Iman of individuals. Now let me go to another aspect of this concept. I just want to make this concept very clear before we move on. Interaction between Iman and Amal Salih. When you reach to a higher level, suppose you are on level 1 of Iman, and you try to work hard, your amal becomes better, your Iman elevates, goes up. When your Iman goes up, the value of your amal increases, your good deed. And when you improve on that, even the Iman becomes better. So there is an interaction between Iman and Amal. This true faith and good deed. If the level of Iman goes up, the quality of your good deed will go up. When the quality of good deeds go up, your level of Iman will also go up. And this goes continuously. And this is where you have to realize that when you talk about the good deeds of a person, The value of a good deed depends on the iman of the person. You know, we have this whole debate, especially when they talk about religious pluralism, that, oh, we just look at the good deed. He's a good person, that's it. Iman is not that important. From our perspective, yes, we are human beings. We judge one another only on the basis of their actions, because we don't have the ability to know what is inside their heart. But don't expect the same standard and measure that Allah will be using. He has no limitations. And Quran is very clear about it. And that is why I'm using the ayat of Quran here, six of them, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that complete and true faith is a prerequisite for the acceptance of good deeds. Good deeds by themselves have no value. It depends on the true iman and the niyyat of an individual. So these things are linked to one another. One ayat, Surah Nisa 124, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْسَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. Whoever does good deed, whether a male or a female, provided they are mu'min. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. This is a condition coming in. Allah says that, you know, they will go to Jannah. And another ayat from Surah number 16. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْسَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Again, the condition وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ is coming. Whoever does good deed, a male or a female, provided they are the people of iman, true faith, Allah says, لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give them a good life, and we will give the best of reward to them. Number three, Surah number 17, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Whoever perspective and result, objective is the Akhirah, they work for the Akhirah, وَسَعَى لَهَا, and work hard for it, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, provided they have iman, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah says, I will be thankful towards their good deeds. Ayah number four, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whoever does good deeds, provided that person is a mu'min, فَلَا يُخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا حَظُمًا, they should not fear any injustice or deprivation of rewards in the Akhirah. Ayat number five, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Everywhere this condition is coming. Whoever does good deed and they are mu'min, فَلَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعْيِهِ, their hard work will not be ignored and forgotten. And the last ayat, وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْسَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whoever does a good deed from a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, provided they have iman, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, they will enter the Jannah, وَيُرْزَقُونَ فِيهَا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, and they will be, you know, provided and sustained without any measure. Salawat upon the Quran. And so we have to realize that, you know, this is where I wanted to give you a complete, you know, concept here from the Quran itself, that amal is the basis where it can be accepted, provided it is found on iman. They are linked to one another. So now let us go back to the story of Khandaq. Amir al-Mu'mineen goes to the battlefield. Amr ibn Abd Wud is there, and he says, who are you? And Ali says, I'm Ali bin Abi Talib. He says, oh, your father was a good friend of mine, and he was even generous to me. I don't want to fight you. Send those who are older, you know, of my same age. And Ali said, well, you know, I have come here, responded to your challenge. He says, you know, for the sake of your father, I don't want to fight you. He says, you know, but I don't want to just go like that. I've been told, now Ali says, I've been told about you that in any situation, especially in a battle situation, you give three choices to the opponents. And you always say that I will accept one of those three wishes that they would have. So now I'm talking to you. My first wish is that you become Muslim. He said, no, I'll not become Muslim. Then Ali says, my second, you know, suggestion is you go back. Go back, take your army, go back to Mecca. He says, what? I go back to Mecca just like that, and the women of Quraysh will say I was a coward? I can't go back. Then Ali said, then I don't have a choice but to say I'm going to fight you. And this made him angry. You know, he looked at the young man. He says, look at his audacity from his perspective. You know, he's telling me that he's going to kill me. He got angry, he got off his horse, and actually, you know, cut the legs of the horse to say, I'm not going to run away. I'll face you. In the initial, you know, encounter, he actually struck a very heavy blow on Amir al-Mu'mineen, which Ali took on his shield. But it was so severe that actually it went through the shield and hit Amir al-Mu'mineen on the forehead. And blood started coming out. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen, of course, you know, in his response, he was able to, there were some, you know, exchanges until Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I went close to see. And all of a sudden, I see they became so active, dust started coming out, we couldn't see anything. But then all of a sudden, in that cloud of dust, we heard the takbir of Ali. And we realized he has killed Amr ibn Abd al-Wud. And at that time, the important point I think I cannot forget here is that there was a point when Amir al-Mu'mineen sat down on him to finish him off. This great warrior of Quraysh and the Arab world, known to be one against, you know, 100, when Ali sat down, he actually spat on the blessed face of Amir al-Mu'mineen. For a moment, he was a human being. Ali became angry. He stood up, took few steps back, just to calm himself and his anger for what Amr ibn Wud had done. Then he goes back and finishes his job. Those few seconds that Ali had moved away, our fellows sitting there around Rasulullah, they're saying, what is Ali doing? They're more afraid now. And they were told, well, go and ask him when he comes here. And he says, I did not want to kill Amr ibn Abd al-Wud because of my anger. I wanted my action to be entirely 100% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so remember that when you look at that action, which is based on 100% pure intention, fillah walillah, not out of anger, no other motivation was there. That purity of, you know, his niyyat, and the statement that Rasulullah had made, Barazal Iman kullu, entire Iman is there. Look at the quality of Iman. Look at the quality of the niyyat and intention of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then if you want to evaluate what he did, Rasulullah says, La varbatu aliyin yawm al-khandaq afdalu min ibadati saqalain. That one blow and striking of Amir al-Mu'minin in Khandaq is more worthier than the worship of all human beings and jinn together. Salawat. This action of Ali gains value because of the Iman. This action of Ali gains value because of the purity of his intention. So when we talk about the levels of Iman, you realize that this is something we have to always keep in mind. We should not forget that. And that's why the companions of Ali have been mentioned by the sixth Imam in this list as examples. That on the 10th level is Salman, on the 9th is Abu Zar, on the 8th is Miqdad. Salawat. Salman, his journey in seeking the truth was a long one. Zoroastrian background, traveling all the way to Sham, which was a Christian country, becoming Christian, getting close to these monks and some of them who actually were sharing their secrets with him. The information that they had, they would not share with the public. And this is where we come to realize when Quran says that, you know, that Ahmad, the name of Rasulullah in the Torah and Injil, has been written in such a way that they know him the way they know their own children. The details of Rasulullah. But this were not public knowledge. These leaders of the church would just hide it. Or even the Yahud. The presence of the Jewish tribes in Medina was because of the prediction that they had in their books that the last prophet will be settling in that city. But when he came, they realized he's not one of us. And so they started opposing him. And so this is how Salman came to know about Rasulullah and even the characteristics, the example I mentioned yesterday. Then he was told that this last prophet would not take anything if you give him a sadaqah. It's haram for him and for Banu Hashim. And so these things were known to Salman. And appreciating his quest for truth, his journey in search of truth, Rasulullah described his, you know, attempt in a very beautiful way where he says, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ فِي السُّرَيَّةِ لَنَالَهُ سَلْمَانُ. If the true faith was in the stars, Salman would have gone all the way to the stars to go and reach to that level to find what is the truth. Amir al-Mu'mineen describes Salman when somebody asked him, and this is after the wafat of Salman, where he says, you're talking to me about Salman, you're asking me, Imra'un minna, he was one of us. Wa ilayna ahlul bayt, he was attached to the ahlul bayt. وَمَنْ لَكُمْ بِمِثْلِ لُقْمَانَ الْحَكِيمِ. Who was there in the ummah besides him like Luqman al-Hakim? You know Luqman? This person blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with special knowledge, that even you have his story mentioned in the Quran. Ali says Salman was the Luqman of the Muslim ummah. علم العلم الأول والآخر وقرأ الكتاب الأول كالكتاب الآخر. He knew the knowledge of the previous religions and the last one. He was familiar with the scriptures of the earlier religions and the last one. وكان بحرا لا ينزف. He was the ocean of knowledge which will never end. This is the status of Salman in the words of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Yesterday I quoted to you the statement of the sixth Imam. That this level of Salman, the respect that the Ahlul Bayt have for him, the very first reason was that he sacrificed his own desires and wish and preferred whatever Ali wanted. And that is the path that we have to follow. He was among those who refused to do the bay'at to the first Khalifa. As I said yesterday, he was in the house of Fatima with about 12 to 14 people who were refusing to do bay'at to Abu Bakr until they were forced, you know, taken out by force and forced to do bay'at, other than Ali. And he was among the few who was there even in the janazah of Bibi Fatima. And these are the words of Ali. He says that he was there. He, Abu Zar, Miqdad, Ammar. On the third day after the wafat of Rasulullah, Salman actually stood up to publicly support Ali in a speech that he made to the Muslims at that time, where he says, "Ala ayyuhan nas, isma'u anni hadisi." O people, listen to me. Try to understand me. And I tell you that I have given quite a lot as far as ilm is concerned from Rasulullah. And if I narrate to you the virtues of Amir al-Mu'mineen, a group of you will say he's Majnoon, he's crazy. Other will say he's a liar, and they will pray for my murder. If somebody comes and kill me, they will say, you know, may Allah bless that fellow. Means they will, you will not accept my words that easily about the fazail of Ali. But now that you are already into disgrace and bala, remember, inna 'inda 'aliyyin 'ilmul manaya wal balaya. Ali has the knowledge about all different situations. He is the final word. He knows about the background of the people. Ala min haj Harun bin Imran min Musa. His position is same as the position of Harun in relation to Musa. The way the Prophet himself said to Ali, "Anta wali wasi fi ahli bayti." You are my wasi, the executor of my will in my family. Wa khalifati fi ummati, and you are my successor in my ummah. Wa anta minni bimanzilati Harun min Musa. Your position is same as the position of Harun to Musa. Then he says, Salman says, but you people have become like Bani Israel. Bani Israel described in the Quran, they went against the teachings of Musa alayhi salam. And this is where he goes on to say that if you had accepted Ali as your leader, لَأَكَلْتُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَقْدَامِكُمْ, you will be eating, or you will become rich from things coming from the sky and the things coming out from the earth. But you are now deprived of these blessings because you did not accept Ali. أَصِبْتُمُ الْخَيْرُ وَلَكِنْ أَخْطَعْتُمُ الْمَعْدَنِ, you took little bit of the gold, but you forgot the gold mine. You forgot Ali. He is the gold mine for you. And this is where you have to realize that now that this has happened to you, you are going to suffer because of it. Salawat. It was not only his words. Even in his actions and his lifestyle, Salman tried to live the example of Ali. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, especially when he became the Khalifa, his lifestyle became very simple. It's not that he didn't have anything to eat or didn't have money at that time. He had. He was an affluent person by that time. But he decided that I am the Khalifa of Muslimin. And I would like to live a lifestyle where even the most poor person would be able to relate to me. So it was by choice. His poverty was by choice. And he wanted his governors actually to also be in the same way. If you look at Salman of course was not the governor during his time. He was a governor in the previous administration, actually during the time of Umar, by the permission of Ali, of course. For the sake of the general good of the Muslims, Amir al-Mu'mineen cooperated with the government on certain issues. And one of them was this issue of Salman becoming governor of Madain. There also, if you look at his lifestyle, very similar to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even his food was very simple. You know, bread and salt, nothing else. Whatever he would get, his share from Baitul Mal, he will give it away to the poor and the needy. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in a letter to Usman bin Hunayf, his governor in Basra, when he found out that this person went to a very, you know, big, you know, grand party organized by some rich people, only the affluent and rich were there, Amir al-Mu'mineen wrote a letter to him saying, you know, what are you doing? You're my governor. And then he says something very interesting. He says, I don't expect you to become like me. I know you, even though you are my governor, I know you cannot live a life like me. But at least try that. Try to get closer to me. And this is what I would say. The lesson that we can take from Salman is that, you know, we cannot become like Ali. Probably we cannot even reach to the level of Salman. But at least we can always look and see what we eat, what we drink. Is it from the halal sustenance? Is it coming from the halal source? And in that, we will be able to, you know, try to follow those footsteps of Salman and get closer and closer to Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat man ikbaro. Normally, the second majlis in the series of Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I recite the entire majlis in English. I'll try to do the Masaib in English also tonight. That when we look at the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of Rasulullah in the khutbah that he gave, he mentioned, you know, when I used these words yesterday, that Ibn Muljim was the most despicable and worst, you know, wretched person. These are not my words or descriptions. This is from Rasulullah, where he says, "Ashqal awwalin wal akhirin." The most shaqi person in the entire world, from the old to the present time, is Ibn Muljim. His heart was filled with this hatred towards Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was from the Khawarij. But if you want to understand Ali, look at him. That, you know, he has been struck. And when Imam got up and Ibn Muljim struck him, he actually hit him in the same spot where Amr ibn Abdabud had hit. And probably, you know, that was the reason why the sword went deep. And this was a sword that this mal'oon had dipped into the poison for more than 3 days. But look at Ali. Even in that state, the first words which came from his mouth, "Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba," that when it comes to my end, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have succeeded. I didn't want to die because of illness. I wanted to become shaheed. "Wa waffiq lana qatla fi sabilik." This is what you recite in dua iftitah. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen wished for. When Ibn Muljim is brought close, this just Imam again asked him one question. He said, "Ibn Muljim, was not I a good Imam for you?" He didn't have anything to say. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was being taken from the masjid to the house, you know, his sons were crying, Hassan and Hussein, Abbas and others. Muhammad Hanafiya, all the family members were crying. In masjid, they were crying on him. And Ali was consoling them that your father is now going towards a better place. All the way, along the way from masjid to the house, Amir al-Mu'mineen was consoling his own sons. Don't cry. But you know, when did Ali start crying? When he reached the home and when he saw Zainab and Umm Kulthum. When he saw the crying of Zainab and Umm Kulthum, Ali himself, who had been consoling his own son, started crying at that time. Azadaran Ali, Amir al-Mu'minin at that time, still did not forget Ibn Muljim. He said, remember, do not forget his food. And the last wasiyyat that he makes, where he says, remember, zarbatun bi zarbatin. He struck me only once. Oh Hassan, if I am alive, I will deal with him. It will be my decision. But if I die because of this zarbat, then remember, you have a right to retaliate only one time. And even after that, he says, وَلَا تُمَثِّلُ بِالرَّجُلُ. Do not mutilate the body of this person. Can you have a better just imam than Ali? He says to his children, remember, Rasulullah used to say, do not mutilate the body even of a rabid dog, let alone a human being. But I'll say one thing only, Rasulullah. Mention these words. Or Amir al-Mu'mineen, you repeated these words for your children. You look at Zainab when she's crying, you start crying. What will happen on the day of Ashura when you look at Zainab? When everybody has been killed, the tents have been looted and burned. At that time, Zainab saw that Umar ibn Sa'd is ordering for 10 volunteers to come on their horses to trample the body of Hussein, the grandson of Rasulullah. Nobody among the Muslims came forward. This is where probably Zainab must have remembered her father's words at that time, that where then she looks up and says, Ya Rasulullah, oh my grandfather, the Malaika recites salawat on you. Come and look at the plains of Karbala. Nobody's here to stop the horses trampling the body of my brother Hussein. Fatima Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.